You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
You've made a very, very interesting suggestion that was published recently in the media about Australia Day commemorations.
Australia Day, we're in denial in Australia. Let me stress at the outset that I'm not running a change the date campaign.
Yeah.
And we run a very orthodox citizenship ceremony on Australia Day and expect to see me there. Having said that, let me say a few harsh realities about Australia Day. A significant minority are offended by Australia Day and oppose it and want to change the date. A slender majority want to keep the date, and there is bipartisan support for keeping the date. So at this stage in our history, it is not foreseeable that the date of Australia Day will change. Why should it change? It is because for Indigenous people, it represents invasion and it represents, you know, the loss of sovereignty and culture that's implied with colonisation. I completely get that. I'm from a Jewish background. If there was Australia Day coincided with Kristallnacht Day or the birth of Hitler, that would be offensive enough. But to celebrate those events as Australia Day does would be offensive to me as a Jew. And I completely get why the Change the Date campaign has traction in a significant number of Australian hearts. But I'm taking a pragmatic view. My suggestion is that we don't change the date, we change the day. If the day was less about celebrating the displacement of Indigenous culture and the triumph of our current Australian multicultural culture, then perhaps it's would be less offensive to those people who currently take offence. So my idea is basically stolen in another act of colonisation and hegemony, has been stolen from Anthony Mundine, who has suggested that on Australia Day we have a morning of mourning.
Another MP, Victorian, we're talking about Anthony Mundine there, who is not a Victorian, but another Victorian ex-MP, Greens MP, Lydia Thorpe, suggested something similar. It's on her Facebook page.
Right. Well, that's great. You have to welcome anyone who agrees with you, because this idea attracts criticisms from left and right. From those people who love Australia Day, there is a criticism that we're undermining it. And from those people who want to change the date, they see me as being weak. If you're being criticised by both sides, maybe you've got something right. So let me just emphasise what I would see a morning of mourning being all about. Now, it's very typical for major national ceremonies to have two parts: a solemn and sad part, and a more celebratory part. Anzac Day starts off with the dawn service, which is full of solemnity and ritual. And then there's the parade, celebrating.
And then there's drinking and
partying. And then there's drinking and two-up and partying. And so the day transitions. Similarly, Easter starts off with Good Friday, which is, once again, solemn, a day of mourning, and then Sunday is a day of celebration and renewal, celebrating the risen Christ. Mm-hmm. So it is typical and normal for days, significant days, to have twin aspects, a sad or mournful aspect and a celebratory and triumphant aspect. So we need to capture the first bit, the mournful aspect, more entirely and more completely. And that actually hasn't happened so far. So I've devised a morning of mourning, which would take place before a citizenship ceremony. It would also involve a whole lot of ceremony and no speeches. Speeches are to be banned.
What would be done during that ceremony that you are proposing?
The first thing I would say is it's up to the traditional owners to agree to it. If they don't agree to it, then, you know, it doesn't go ahead. And I'm talking a bit to the Wurundjeri and also to the local Yalakut Willem clan of the Bunurong. So, which is in Port Phillip. My proposal, just a proposal at this stage, is that we highlight the massacres. There were 13 to 20,000 Aboriginal men, women and lots of children who were massacred. There's work being done by the Newcastle University, and that work is documenting the massacres. So my proposal for a ritual, not a speech, but a ritual, would be to get a prominent Indigenous leader just to read out the names and the number killed in each massacre in what's called the Port Phillip District, which was what Victoria was called. Now, Victoria has less massacres than other areas because only 5% of the Indigenous community lived in Victoria prior to white colonisation. I think it's really important that we say to ourselves, listen, 13 to maybe up to 20,000 of these people were killed. It's a terrible statistic. It's a terrible part of our history, and we don't know about it. Some of the work done by Newcastle University shows that there are about 25 to 30 people killed in each massacre. Can you imagine that? Going and killing all these people. A lot of the massacres occurred after a white male had raped an Indigenous woman, and then that white male would be speared. So whites were killed during these wars. The evidence appears to be, well, nothing justifies killing a white male, but there's pretty good reason and context, which was rape and sexual assault of an Indigenous woman. And then in vengeance of that killing of that one white male was 25, 50 people would be massacred. It's a black mark on our history, and we need to acknowledge it, both because we need to acknowledge it. People generally don't know about it. I knew nothing about it before I embarked on this idea, this proposal. And secondly, it should be part of an ongoing and continuous apology for some of the atrocities that have occurred in our early history, although it's our late history if you take an Indigenous view of history. And it needs to be done on Australia Day because that was when it commenced. Although, to be fair, Arthur Phillip, though cruel to the convicts who were under his care, Arthur Phillip was actually quite enlightened in his dealings with Indigenous people and was, I understand, speared himself, but did not seek to retaliate. But Australia Day marks the, in one sense, the beginning of the end, and that needs to be spelled out to the whole community.
Yeah.
And my idea for a ceremony would be there'd be lots of music. There'd be lots of parading with vestments, people in costume parading. Hopefully there would be fire. There would be candles, all the sorts of things you see in a ceremonial response to an event. And for this one, I would hope that in Victoria we read out the list compiled by Newcastle University of every massacre in the old district of Port Phillip. And We read that out to music and just read the name of the place and the numbers massacred.
Yeah. Would the ceremony, this type of ceremony, be for your local area alone, Port Phillip, or you would want to see this extended to the whole country?
The latter. I want to see a recognition, not my ceremony necessarily, but some honest, evocative ceremony in every local area, as many who are willing to run it, and it applies throughout the land. Or you could have one big national ceremony in Canberra. We do have, you know, big national ceremonies in Canberra, and they are remote. Okay. You know, you need to invent a ceremony that sort of is disseminated throughout the nation.
But when we speak about Australia Day, Invasion Day for First Nations communities, the most important thing the First Nations see is the invasion. And this is something extremely offensive to the majority of them. Some do not want to change the date, but a lot want this change, this date changed. And it's a relatively recent commemoration in the Australian calendar of commemorations. It's not very old. So one would argue, why not change it? Because it was instituted at a later date. It's less than 50 years since Australia Day has been taking place. Why not change it and have a date that's less controversial, that would be agreeable to everyone? Because the very beginning of it is it starts on the marking of a mourning for part of the community. It's a small community, but it's an important component of the community because of the country. Because they are the first nations, the first occupants of this land, the actual owners of the land, because this is stolen land. We live, always has, always will be Indigenous land.
These are very powerful arguments that you raise, and I have no argument against them. I'm just making a pragmatic decision in that the Liberal Party, the National Party and the Labor Party are all committed to keeping the date. So whilst we keep the date, I'm trying to work out ways of civilising it, and I say to many people, we're in denial. So in response to my a report of these views in the Herald Sun, there were comments that were unanimously condemning me for being mean to Australia Day. I accept the arguments about changing the date. I just say that it's not going to change in my lifetime. So
you're adding your voice to the conversation, actually, that needs to be heard.
Yes, that's right. So I, you know, people see me as being weak and compromising, and I accept that criticism as fair. I'm being pragmatic. And maybe as a result of this, we do change the date. It's difficult to change the date. I mean, everyone I know wants a holiday on the last week of January. Everyone wants it then.
That's a traditional cut-off for holidays.
Yeah,
after
that's
Australia
right.
Day, so everyone comes back from holidays and work begins the following day.
So, yeah. So my thing is that, my shtick is that one of the really amazing things about this debate is just how superficial the defence of the current date is that it sort of fits in with everyone's holiday plans who've got school kids. Well, you know, and you know, seriously, I encounter this everywhere. And you know, the obvious date would be the 1st of January, which is when our nation came into being. But, you know, that's obviously a bad date because it's New Year's Day and it's already a public holiday. It's already got space in the calendar.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is this struggle to find a good Australia Day. I have got a poster which is dates from 1915, and it's got an injured soldier with a bandage on his head and saying, "Please help me celebrate Australia Day in June." And it got a date in June.
Yeah.
So, you know, I absolutely agree with you. There's all this arbitrary bullshit, really, about this stuff.
Yeah.
But we're sort of stuck with we're stuck with that. That the major political parties are saying the date won't change. What I think is important is that we are in denial.
We hope.
as a nation, we're in denial. So I read a blog when someone. A comment on my Facebook page when someone was attacking me saying, oh, 75% favour Australia Day, therefore let's keep it. Isn't that fantastic? And I said that to myself, that means 25% are disgruntled. This is supposed to be a day of almost unanimous acclamation of our nation. This is a day when we say to ourselves, let's celebrate the nation. If quarter of the people don't agree with it, there's something wrong. We're in denial. We can't go on. It diminishes Australia as a nation if our the biggest commemoration and gathering of people is a demonstration against the day.
And alienates a quarter of the population. If they say 25 don't agree, a quarter of the population
exactly.
is a significant minority that cannot just be swept under the carpet.
That's right. So the result of my conversation, if people pursue the conversation I'm trying to get started, might be that my idea goes nowhere and that the date is changed. Or it might be that it goes nowhere and everyone says, Dick, you're an idiot. Stop trying to ruin Australia Day. I'm trying to augment Australia Day and make it fairer. And I'm doing so in a way that upsets people from a First Nations background, that upsets the Greens, that upsets people who agree with those people that the dates should be changed. So I'm upsetting everyone. But I think the one message that I do want to get out, which I think is important, is that we are in denial about the problems of Australia Day, that the biggest ceremonial response to Australia Day is demonstrations against Australia Day. And we can try and ameliorate that by making Australia Day more open and honest about the ceremonial response to what it meant for the First Nations.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.